Cool. Did you get a chance to see the deck? I'm guessing not, because I kind of sent it late.
No, I just tried opening it on my phone. Okay. I was actually just got out of a meeting and missed your text, so I was trying to figure out like where we were meeting, because the Google Meet link on the calendar wasn't working. I was like, oh no, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm officially no longer part China, so. Yeah.
Oh well.
Oh, how's things going now though over at Chai?
Good. I mean, busy, same old. We've launched the credit card finally.
Oh, I saw. I tried to register and it said I'm a foreigner, so I have to register in person or something.
Unfortunately, fortunately, we can't issue the card to foreigners because for like credit cards, there are like special like additional KYCs that have to happen. And
I see.
It can only happen in person, apparently, for foreigners. It can't happen, like, online through an app.
Oh, so, like, not even through Zoom, like, right now, you can't KYC me?
No. A HANA card, like, employee has to, like, KYC you in person or something like that.
So interesting.
Only, like, the handful of, like, we have, like, what, Andy and Dan, a general, like, who are foreigner as well. Like, they're kind of, like, the only exception where, like, someone from HANA card came to the office and, like, verified everything.
I see.
But for for others, unfortunately, we can't.
I see. It's okay. I'll just use a prepaid one.
It's a bummer, but
yeah.
But how have you been? What have you been up to?
Mainly what I sent you. So that's a culmination of like the past 2 months of kind of actually the past 3 months of kind of like researching. And so I started down the road of with Chai Labs, it was supposed to be more for like cross-border transactions using stablecoins, using Terra, right? This would align with what Port is trying to do and like to saving costs for merchants. But I felt that there was just a much more differentiated opportunity with reward points and kind of is more aligned with like what I kind of wanted to do like, you know, with Chai, with like more like long tail and like more like merchant focus. And you know, there's a way to actually align like reward point tokens cross border anyway, because if merchants are, you know, selling their products across different regions, then, you know, like at settlements, you could actually just, you know, just settle those like reward point tokens. Right. So, so there's like a lot of activity around. Well, so like I'm not sure what's going on at Bolt. Like I'm sure it has some flavor of like reward stuff with it. So I'm actually curious your take on how this relates to that. Because like Dan's actually very, you know, open, and he seems to like the deck that I shared with you, and I shared with Rahul last week this deck, so both was positive, but I kind of wanted to see like a, you know, non-engineering, non-strategy related person's take on this, you know, in terms of like a from like a real world, like a real person's kind of view, or like even like, you know, marketing perspective, like does this have any value? Does this have any potential? Is this aligned with the Chai business? Right, because this product would have to be aligned with Chai, like as a partner, right? So, you know, so like right now, like I'm in a place right now where, you know, with Chai Labs, you know, the goal is to create a product or service that aligns with Chai, most likely with Port. But like, I've been actually sort of like my kind of core thesis has been around like Chai Card, you know, like the Chai Wallet and the Chai Port, you know, need to have synergy in some form. So if that were to happen, then like, what would be the, you know, thing that actually creates that synergy? And the thing that kind of ties it together is reward points. So I don't know. So like, you know, like Dan was like very originally kind of like opposed to like synergy between, you know, Chai Wallet and Port, but like with this particular deck, he seems open to that synergy. So yeah, just curious your thoughts.
Could you walk me through it real quick?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
I have a chance to really...
Yeah, let me actually just like open the deck. Yeah, so... let me see here. Oh, yeah, so this deck was actually created for BitThumb, just to give you some context in this deck, because so the person that's leading the new business, you know, like new business department over at BitThumb, she's also the head of compliance there. And, you know, she actually reached out to me for like new opportunities, and I kind of, pitched like this kind of thing to this, this idea. And then it just turns out that she was like a former head of something at Inesys, right? And then she's been pushing like something similar over at Bitthumb. So she was very surprised that I was like kind of thinking about this and like how, you know, like looking at merchants and helping them succeed with like, you know, like rewarding, you know, their customers and stuff like that. So that's why I created this deck. And if you look at the diagram on page 6, basically it kind of shows how, if Chai were to have a VASP license, then, you know, we could play that exchange role in the center, but because we don't, and because we don't have the technical capabilities or like the legal framework to actually custody the assets or to do the trading, we would have to actually partner with someone. So like this kind of model would partner with at least one exchange per region, right? So that if customers were to, let's say, check out with like reward point tokens, then it would have to settle to cash for the merchant, right? So the exchange would play that kind of that middle layer kind of function, right? So so like I was thinking that the initial product sorry, I have a cough, but the initial product would be a really easy way for merchants to create reward point tokens, like easily, like with a touch of a button, right? So like let's say if I am like Upside Coffee, right, let's say, and they want to create like reward point tokens, right, then by putting in some like default parameters, or perhaps there's like template or something like that, they can just be like boom, it can be generated, and then it would be listed immediately onto like Bitthumb or like the exchange that we partner with, right? Because like the challenges for actually listing right now is like very large. I mean, like you're involved with Bolt, so like you know how difficult it is legally and technically to like even get off the ground on this, right? So like every merchant, online or offline, will have this kind of barrier to actually getting listed in a compliant way, right? And also getting it distributed to their customers, right? So like let's say if it were like, you know, like within 10 minutes they're bought into this, they list it, then like the tokens can just start listing immediately like on Bitthumb. And through Chai Wallet, like the actual tokens that is traded isn't real. I mean, like things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, yeah, you know, like people want to trade that, but you know, there's like better places to actually trade that, right? Like what I'm thinking for Chai Wallet and kind of like what fits into like the bread and butter of Chai itself is like merchant. It's actually a merchant platform with a marketing distribution platform through the wallet, right? So like, let's say if I were using Chai Card or Chai Wallet, I transact at, let's say, Tmon. Like Tmon, you know, let's say could have listed their Tmon tokens on Bitthumb. And then through Chai Wallet, like when you kyeolje, you get the reward point tokens in cashback form, right? So let's say, you know, like the merchant decides, oh, I want to do like 5%. So it's going to be like 5% off the spot price in Tmon tokens that you would get back into your wallet. And then you could actually liquidate those Tmon tokens for Bitcoin, right, or cash. So it's probably Bitcoin is the easiest thing to do, like for a compliant way. But then, or like USDT or like KRT or something like that. But we could also use these Tmon tokens to, let's say, like, you know, checkout experience from a port perspective. Like if you were to use Tmon tokens to like get a discount, you know, so like let's say for like, you know, Coupang, right, like you can use like Coupang money to like you can apply those points to actually like realize a discount, right? So like basically it's really hard for merchants to offer this kind of service, right? So like we're offering like a real easy way to do that, and you know, for people who are loyal to the brand, maybe they actually want to buy Tmon tokens because they are regulars of this place, right? And you know, for let's say like really cheap, like they want to actually realize these larger discounts by actually like going back again and again to Tmon, you know. And Tmon could also do like marketing campaigns, right? So like right now at Chai, what's not really robust is that from a merchant's perspective, for them to want to like, let's say, like, you know, acquire new customers to like a network or to like see the data and to try to do some campaigns for retention, it's really hard to do that. But if like wallet and port were actually connected in an ecosystem, then it's possible to do this, right? And the merchants could actually, instead of like, let's say rewarding Bolts, which is like really hard sell from the merchant's perspective, like why do I need to see value in Bolts? Like they would definitely see the value in their own like merchant tokens. Like, you know, if you're like, you know, like if you're like a, you know, Cream, let's say, if you have Cream tokens, it's very easy for a Cream, you know, employee or like, you know, like a Cream person to see value in the Cream tokens, right? So yeah, so like from a customer's perspective, like I'm like basically just like walking through the deck, but just more in like kind of a like a free form. So like from a customer's perspective, like what they could do is be able to trade these tokens, right? So like all the brands that you love, right? Let's say it's like Timon, like Cream, like, you know, Upside or like whatever. And like the market cap of these reward point tokens will be, you know, would be correlated to like probably how much like GMV that they're selling, like how many customers that they have, right? Like stuff like that. So like it'd be very differentiated volume that would be that Chai could capture for these like reward point tokens, like speculating on these brands that they love, right? So so like the first main product would be to offer an easy way for merchants to generate and list these tokens and to manage it, and then to use these reward tokens to acquire and retain their customers, right? And then from the customer's perspective, they get more and more rewards because the merchants has like the means to actually acquire them to get more loyalty. From the exchange perspective, they're getting more and more volume, you know, so they make money on trading fees. And then from like Chai Wallet's perspective, they could also make a cut of this because they're bringing all this trading traffic to the, you know, to the exchange, right? And then So like the way that I was thinking about like what is the future of Chai Port, right? And the thing that I've been kind of pitching to Dan and Rahul like again and again, which you know, they agree with, but just like on a different time scale. So like what I say is that the transaction fees at port will go to zero or negative over time, right? So like I think it's going to happen within like 5 years. Dan and Rahul think it's going to happen in like maybe like 10 years. So it's really more of a difference in the actual timing of it, right? So like what I kind of propose with this kind of model is that if we were to enable merchants to list their own reward point tokens, then for Chai Port, their transaction cost could go to zero right away. So like, let's say if we are doing BD for like, you know, like new like merchants, like we say, hey, transaction cost is just zero, right? And you'll be able to get, you know, to like reward your customers in these tokens, you know, like stuff like that. So basically, Port makes all their money from the settlements of reward point tokens. And like that margin could be huge.
Well, how would the transaction fee go to zero?
Yeah,
wouldn't the user still be transacting in like Korean won?
Yeah, yeah. So, good question. So, like, most of the transaction would be based off of Korean won, right? Because they're paying in Korean won. But then, like, let's say, you know, in coupon when you pay for like an order and you apply coupon cash, that coupon cash has to be settled, right? Like during the transaction, right? Mm-hmm. So the settlements of like the actual coupon cash portion would be like where you get your commission. So instead of like earning like 0.2, 0.3%, you know, take rate on the entire transaction, you'd be making like, let's say like, you know, like 1% or something, or like 2%, right? Like off of the transaction of the reward point tokens, right? So it's like a much higher margin for the actual like reward points at all proportion. So like aggregate wise, it's about the same.
Could you walk me through that one more time?
So so like let's say for if you're a customer and you buy like let's say like $100 worth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a 0.2% transaction fee off that $100. Let's see, what is that? So $100.
Well, you mean 0.2% for the merchant?
Yeah. For the merchant.
That's too low. It would be like 1.5 or 2. If you were, let's say, paying with a credit card, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it depends on like what the payment method is, but like right now, the actual cut that that port actually makes is, I think, averaging 0.2, like across all the merchants.
They're not the PG,
right?
Yeah, they're not the payment gateway like Innesys. So
uh-huh.
For Coupon would still have to pay like 1.5 to 2%, but uh-huh. 1.5 would go to the payment gateway, and then uh-huh. like 0.small percent would go to Port, because unfortunately, they're not acting as a payment gateway in that transaction.
Okay. Yeah. So, wait, hold on. So, like, you know, Cream, with Cream, like, our rate is like 0.03% off of Cream, right? So, like, what you're saying is that who's the PG that Cream goes through? So, like, that person, so that PG would get, like, let's say, like you're saying, like, 1.5%.
Yeah, depending on, well, the merchant would have to pay, like, 1.5 to, like, 2, maybe even 3, depending on, like, what the payment method is. If it's a credit card, for instance, the merchant Cream would still have to pay like 2% or 3%. And then that percentage would be divided between the credit card company, the payment gateway, and everyone else. And then the margin that Port eats is like an additional cost for Cream, actually.
Okay.
Which is, you know, Port's like external question, right? Like, how do you convince merchants to join Port when, usually, Port gets the payment cut from the payment gateway, so it doesn't cost the merchant additional.
Yeah. So, perhaps what I'm trying to say, thanks for clarifying that point. So, it's like the credit card, like the portion that goes to the credit card company would be separate. So, like what we would be marketing internally is that our fee is zero, right? And it's like really difficult for like merchants to actually believe that, right? But then, like if they can see like what our business model is, like what Port's business model is, it's very easy for them to see that, okay, like they actually get nothing. And from the PG's perspective, they have no reason to like, you know, try to disintermediate, you know, Port merchants and, you know, like to their own, you know, like as their own customer. So let's just say like the Port portion, like the aggregation portion, like the orchestration portion would be zero, let's say.
Okay.
But instead of making any money on that portion, basically like, in terms of pure transaction fee cost, it would only be on the reward points.
Right? Okay.
Right. So like, let's say for like $100, instead of making, let's say, like just for that orchestration point, you know, like 0.3% or like 0.2%, instead you'd be making like, you know, 3% off of $10. As opposed to 0.3% off of like $100, right? Because it's only making the commission off of the actual settlement portion of the reward points.
Of the reward tokens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So it comes out to about the same, right? Like in that example, right? But basically, from Port's perspective, they don't have this like inherent conflict of interest with PGs, right? And they don't have this conflict of interest with merchants, right? And from a merchant's perspective, it's like a win-win. Like, there's no reason to not use Port with this, right? Because Port doesn't get anything from this. Like, it's only value add, right? So like instead of thinking about things in take rate, like we've kind of flipped this equation to thinking about like what is like the value add. Right. So like reward point tokens is like one layer of this. Right. And if you were to have a reward point tokens, why is this great? So what I'm thinking is that like once there's like reward point tokens that the merchants have, they could actually use this as collateral for like actual loans to fund their business. Right. So like, as you know, like with like Port Capital and stuff like that, it's like very expensive and very high barrier to actually get loans, especially for like short time periods, you know. So like let's say if you like for like one quarter, like you have to make one big settlement and you're kind of like, you know, like, you know, need extra cash for like the next quarter, then you could just like borrow money, right? Like really easily, right? So through Port, we have all the data, like all the transaction data, we have all their like user data, like even down to like itemized like product data. So and we also know like, you know, our customers more and more loyal, like with these like reward point tokens, you know, so stuff like that. And if the merchants were to have the reward point tokens, they could be like, hey, you know, like, you know, like this, you know, like the Tmon tokens have a market cap of, I don't know, like $20 million. Let's let me put up like 10 million of this for like collateral. Let me get like an instant loan for $10 million. Right. Mm-hmm. And like basically like you know, like the market could be kind of thin, but at least like a Chai, you know, if so like the lender, right? So like they could just like liquidate the tokens if they were to default, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's ultimately creating like a lending market based off of like the reward point ecosystem that is between like the users and merchant.
Right.
Yeah, so like that gets kind of like too complex, like too far down the line. Like what I was like thinking was like kind of starting more from, you know, like what's more like directly in front of us, which is like reward point generation, right? Because like there's like a lot that you can do with the tokens, like once there's an ecosystem, but you know, like the first problem is to actually create the ecosystem. And actually with the Bolt token and stuff like that, like what are they trying to do right now?
I think the idea hasn't changed, we're imagining a world down the road where a Bolt that's used in the Chai app right now could be replaced with a Bolt token down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more usage for it, mm-hmm. Which is kind of like the down the road idea of it. I'm sure it will take like baby steps towards that because it's not something that you could just easily switch over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have the details of exactly how Bolt and Chai would work just yet. They're just, you know, getting it off the road.
I see. I mean, like,
I actually don't have that much detail at the moment because, you know, the Bolt team is kind of like figuring it out right now, and then hopefully we'll come knocking on our door.
Oh, I thought you were a part of the Bolt team, actually.
No, I'm not. I'm still focused on Chai.
I see.
On the Bolt side, there's like separate folks.
Yeah, I had a coffee with Don. He said that there was like 30 people on Bolt team already. I was like, whoa, that's a lot.
I think maybe not 30, but maybe like 20 to like 30 soon to be, because they're really aggressively hiring. So physically, maybe not 30 people just yet, but soon to be. Like the hiring is like getting aggressively done.
I see. Yeah. So, you know, like, if I'm not able to get a partnership with an exchange, you know, like I would have to consider going back to like cross border and like that kind of like, you know, use case,
uh-huh.
which is still a very strong use case. Like Dan's still actually kind of pushing me towards that.
Right.
He still kind of prefers that more than the reward point tokens. But the thing that kind of like conflicts me about that is like, I don't know, like, you know, it's like a narrative of like Terra right now that Do is pushing with like stable coins and like stuff like that and like Chai, and it's like very like inconsistent with the reality that, you know, Chai, like Chai doesn't use any Terra, doesn't use any like blockchain technology, and like when I was actually trying to hire for Chai Labs with the pitch of like cross border with like, you know, like Terra, there was like a lot of confusion around that, and like I wasn't really sure like what I could actually say or, you know, stuff like that. Like, like what's your thoughts on like sort of like if I were to go the cross border route using Terra, like is there any kind of like risk to like Chai Labs or like to me or to Chai, like if I were to have a different narrative than like what like Do is pushing?
What would the cross border narrative be? What can you talk a little bit more about what you think?
Yeah. So that like Chai would be using so like either KRT or like UST to be selling transactions, like whether it's in Korea or Vietnam. I mean, it's like literally the same narrative as like right now, but it's like but like it'd be like actually making like a concerted effort towards like building it out, like the actual technology. So,
I don't know if there would be like a huge conflict. I mean, I can't really speak for Terra, but I don't know if there would be like a huge conflict, especially if it's something that's obviously, you know, talked with Dan and whatnot. I don't know if there would be like a huge conflict. There's, you know, Terra's now a huge ecosystem. There are a lot of dApps that are being built on it, and I'm imagining that what you're just saying is another different type of dApp, essentially,
mm-hmm.
that would live on Terra's mainnet. So I don't know if it would be a huge conflict.
Yeah, because like I was talking to like, you know, Hashed, and then I was briefly talking with Doe, and like they weren't like really open to this, right? Because like they kind of want to kind of have like a slow fadeaway with Chai and like Terra, you know,
right,
kind of like leverage the existing, you know, like narrative of like, you know, Chai, you know, using, you know, the blockchain, and then like they want to like kind of like divest and like diversify into like other kinds of like, you know, dApps and like create like a different ecosystem apart from Chai. Right. So like by me pitching this and wanting to actually use Terra or the blockchain for Chai transactions, you know, like right now, like in Chai, like you don't need a blockchain because everything is going on in Korea. Right. But,
right,
you know, like the value of blockchain actually increases when we're talking about cross border. Right. So like, let's say if you're a gentle monster and you want to give customers in Korea and China and like wherever, then if you're paying through like, you know, stable coins and settling through, you know, blockchain, then, you know, things really are cheaper and faster and all that, you know, like jazz, right? But
yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the utility is there. Honestly, for conflict around Terra versus Chai, it's really a Dando question. Everyone else is kind of out of the picture. Like, we try to not touch or, you know, talk about the conflict. That was kind of like the gentleman's agreement. So, you know, we're honoring that so far. Obviously, things might change a little bit once Bolt gets really up and running. I don't think there will be like a conflict from the get-go, but it would be a different page for Chai, obviously, because it's a, you know, separate blockchain initiative. But yeah, it's really a Dando question.
Yeah, I mean, like you've known them, like you've worked with them longer than pretty much anyone and everyone. Well, no, like actually Don, like maybe longer than you, right? Or KJ maybe, but
a little bit, yeah.
But like, if I were to kind of like push this with Doe, like what do you think that he would say? Like, I heard he's like kind of hard to work with.
He's not the easiest to work with. Yeah, he's not the easiest to work with. He's really smart, though. Like, I think he's, like, one of the smartest people I've met. he's very clear in what he wants. And doesn't really negotiate that much. So I think it's hard to work with him because he has a pretty set, you know, way of how he wants to do things. And if you... you know, can't follow those guides, then it just won't work out.
Yeah, he seemed like kind of like, because I was on the phone with him and I was like, you know, at least like, because like with Chai Labs, you know, because like it's a company that I'm, you know, like tepioing, right? So like, I really care about like how this fits together with Chai and like the business model and the product and service and stuff like that. And I was like, could you either like, you know, break your connection with Chai into something that is like, you know, and, you know, like we could have some like time period where there's a transition, but to like clarify that Chai is not using Terra for its transactions so that like I can kind of carve out my niche of actually using stable coins as a part of cross border, right? So that's like more clear, like, you know, like for like the merchants, for like the users, for the employees, for like media, like all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, like to either like to distance it more or to actually like align it better, right? So like, you know, Chai Labs, you know, would be the entity that is, you know, developing and maintaining and improving this technology that enables Chai to use, you know, stable coins, you know, and, you know, not just in Korea, you know, but also like, you know, in Asia and globally over time. Right. So like that could be like very easily, you know, clarified as long as it was like kind of collaboration in this kind of stuff. But like because like there isn't any clarity on like what people like are like really standing for, it kind of creates this kind of stalemate when creating Chai Labs. Like that kind of, you know, like that kind of stalemate makes me like want to go more towards like reward point tokens, because it kind of like is distanced more from like, you know, like stable coins. But.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this gentleman's agreement is still technically in play, to the best of my knowledge. Like, I haven't been told otherwise. So I don't know if it's going to be, like, easy to carve out the cross-border section as you want to. But, it really is a damn question. Like, I'm not in communication with Terra or Duolingo for, like, past, like, 2+ years. So whatever the gentleman's agreement is, or what this, you know, a change stances really comes from Dan Ando.
The gentleman's agreement was supposed to be 2 years, right? That they would not mention like anything about Chai, and that they would keep the narrative that Chai uses
Terra.
Yeah,
and I think kind of Bolt is kind of like the way that, you know, Dan's thinking that we'd start carving a new blockchain narrative. Not necessarily like saying no to Terra, but more so that we're focusing on a separate blockchain effort, and, you know, this is what we're going to double down on. I would assume be the new narrative, not necessarily, you know, bad mouthing essentially Terra down the road.
Yeah, I can see Bolt has like a way to kind of like right the ship in terms of like clarity, in terms of the ecosystem.
Yeah. I think we would probably just not comment on stuff that we would feel uncomfortable commenting on, but just say like, hey, here's Bolt, and this is kind of the new blockchain or crypto initiative that Chai is really focusing on. Will there be a partnership with Terra down the road? Sure. Like, why not? Like, it, you know, it's a little bit more positive messaging than denying anything or
like
going against.
Like, why would it feel uncomfortable though?
Again, it was like a gentleman's agreement. Like, it wasn't necessarily anything that like, I don't think like Chai would lose anything per se, but I'm sure Bolt would also benefit a lot from the Terra enthusiasts who have supported Chai in the beginning. So there's a little bit that Chai could gain. Terra obviously has gained a lot more through the gentleman's agreement, but I don't know if it's like necessarily wise, like pitting like Dan or Doe against each other, like. They did co-create Terra and Chai together. So, and, you know, Doe has a lot of stake in Chai, and Dan, I don't think anymore, but used to have a lot of stake in Terra, and, you know, all of those relationships through the Terra days are flowing into Bolt anyway. So I'm sure it's not necessarily something that, and, you know, Dan's not someone who picks fights.
Right.
He likes to keep things pretty happy and mellow. So I don't think it's in his DNA either to go against something. More of a, you know.
Well, I think it's not really going against. I think it's really more like it's more collaborative, right? I mean, it's like in everyone's interest, right? To kind of like work something out in terms of like something that's like more cohesive, right? I mean, like for example, like it could be like, well, you know, like Chai doesn't use Terra to like settle transactions or something like that, but it's like the record is like left, you know, for Terra transactions, and it could just be left at that. Like people wouldn't really complain, maybe, right? And then we have Bolt token. Like Bolt token is like the true technology, like for blockchain, that's going to, you know, further to advance, let's say, like the blockchain, you know, to how transactions are facilitated through the Chai ecosystem. And then on top of that, let's say like with the pitch deck I sent you, like, you know, we have a facility for creating new money, like through reward point tokens, which is, you know, helping, you know, brands and merchants succeed or something like that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, I think you'd still be going against what Terra said in the past. So
what did they say in the past?
Well, they have been saying that, you know, Terra is utilized is a very big word, but like is utilized for Chai's transactions. So for us to say that it's not, it would be going against to what they've been saying so far. So that part of the gentleman's agreement. That's the whole point. Yeah.
I see. Yeah, well, you know, like until that's settled, I I'll probably just keep going down the reward point token path. Like generally, that kind of like the general idea of it, like, Does it like resonate with you, or does it like seem like absurd? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I think parts of it resonates with me, and parts of it I think needs to be worked out a little bit more, especially on the merchant side. I don't think it's, I think, yes, a lot of businesses would be interesting in issuing their own tokens. It's essentially a reverse ICO, right? The question is, can they create a token economics that makes sense, or can they, would just being listed on Bithumb be, or one exchange be enough to generate the, you know, I'm sure there's liquidity needs that it can't just be one way where like the Tmons of the world are just giving reward tokens to the users and then they're selling it. Like, it, there's going to have to be some sort of liquidity or some sort of tokenomics for that to work. So I'm not sure. So yes, merchants would probably be interested in issuing their tokens if there's a easy way to get it listed, even if it's not one of the, you know, KRW supported exchanges. Yeah, I'm sure they'd be really interested in that. But when it comes to the token economics of how you're going to do that, I think would still be a big question mark for the merchants, especially if they're not really familiar with this. So that's the part I think that needs a little bit more thinking. On the user side, I think it's really interesting that you'd be able to like receive reward tokens, especially at places where you shopped, kind of, and then hopefully the value of those tokens would increase over time, or you'd be able to do a lot more with it. I do wonder if you would need, because technically then why would you need to use Chai Wallet? Because you could receive the tokens in any wallet if it's on a, if it's built in the right mainnet, right? So technically, I guess, would you need the Chai Wallet? Couldn't it be any wallet?
Well, so like, it depends on like what we would value, right? Like if self-custody is what we value, then yeah, you know, like any token could be used, right? If it was, let's say, a model where it was custodied at the exchange, right? It, like, at least for like the short-term future, then through something like, let's say, Chai Wallet, like you don't have an actual wallet on your actual client, you know, app. Like you just have, it's just like the interface into like a wallet on the exchange, like on an account, right? Let's say, yeah. So, like, I'm not sure exactly, you know, like when you say Chai Wallet, currently what is the concept of that? Is that like you're actually self-custodying, or is it like who's actually custodying these funds?
I would imagine you'd want to self-custody it, right? Because, like, why would Chai Wallet do this then? Like, what are you getting out of it?
Yeah, because, like if it was custodied by, let's say, either Chai or, you know, like, either, like, a Chai account on Bithumb.
Or whatever.
Or on a user account on Bithumb, let's say. Or, like, an exchange. Like, basically, like, you can just trade immediately, right? So, like you don't have to trade through DeFi. Like, you could just, like, trade through the actual exchange on the exchange's order book, right?
Yeah, but like then why do you need Chai Wallet in the picture? I get Chai Port, but I don't get Chai Wallet.
Yeah, because with Chai Wallet, when you actually pay, like let's say like a like Onenejip, if they have their tokens, you can actually you know like pay with actual like reward point tokens for any of the port merchants. So it'd be like Chai Wallet would be the easiest interface for trading these reward point tokens. It'd be the easiest interface to actually get cash back in the reward point tokens. And it would be the easiest way to actually spend the reward point tokens on Chai Port merchants.
I don't know if the economics, I think you would need the economics on the user side for that to make sense. Because let's say I get like a certain amount of reward tokens for Tmon and I have it on my Chai Wallet. And now I want to go to Tmon to transact. Unless Tmon has priced products based on the reward tokens as well. I'm assuming it's just a world where Tmon's still accepting everything in KRW. Then yeah, like I still don't know why you would sell the reward tokens through that transaction. I guess you would just kind of keep on holding it, or as you said, trade it for USD and then stake it somewhere that gives you 20%.
Well, it's because like as a user, when you actually like buy something on Tmon, if you're actually applying the Tmon tokens, like for the rewards, then what would actually happen in the back end is like Chai Wallet would actually liquidate the Chai tokens for cash, like on the exchange, and then actually send these like fiat proceeds to actual Tmon. Right. So.
Right, but why would the user do that? Like, I could just pay $10 in cash, or you're saying I could either pay like $8.
Yeah, it's because like the user wants to actually use the reward point tokens, right? Because the reward point tokens, most of these originate from like cashback, right? So like, let's say.
Right, but I'm saying if you're a somewhat, if I'm assuming that this is listed on Bitthumb and you can exchange the Tmon tokens into UST, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think I would transition it to UST and then stake it on some other platform that gives me 20% for the UST stake. Like, I don't think I would actually use it on Tmon. Because there's so many DeFi farming products out there that at the end of the day, for any like DEX or DeFi product, what users want to do is yield farming, right? But so if it's a world where the reward tokens could be transitioned into UST or any stablecoin or I don't know, Ethereum or whatever this is, I think if you're somewhat savvy, you would exchange it and then stake it.
Yeah, and like, you know, like I agree with that. So like, if that were true, if it made more sense to, well, so like what you're saying is that there would be like constant selling pressure like on the tokens, right? Because people want to get out of these.
I think there would be selling pressure plus, because there's no reason to hold the tokens. If you could create a really cyclical loop where, Tmon gives me 10 reward tokens and I kept it for like a week, and then the next time I transact on Tmon with Chai, I use the 10 reward tokens and that kicks back to Tmon. If that's like cyclical,
right.
Like I'm sure that's fine, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so I think like what... So I think like what you're asking kind of in some way is that, like, what is the mechanism that actually creates the constant bid on these tokens, right? Because like the only reason why you would actually keep it is if the price is going up, right? So like, let's say from Tmon's perspective, like let's say if they are having like more campaigns, more promotions, and giving like more rewards, let's say like 5% cash back per like, you know, transaction, or like say deals for like some event or like whatever, right? They have to constantly bid up the actual, let's say, Tmon tokens on the exchange. So for every cash back, Tmon would have to make like a market buy like on the exchange, right? So from a user's perspective, if you think that, let's say, Tmon is going to, let's use like Market Curly, because it's like more easier to understand Market Curly because they're actually growing, right? So like if Market Curly is actually growing in transactions, it's not hard to understand that there can be like a much larger consistent bid on like those reward tokens to give that cash back, right? So the value of the Market Curly tokens will actually go up. So it's actually like users are actually speculating on like the growth and loyalty of like the Market Curly brand.
I think that's tricky though. Then does that mean that you're only allowing reward tokens on like potentially growing merchants? Like, I think that's why there's a question mark on the token economics.
Yeah. So like from a user's perspective, like they would want to hold the tokens for brands that they believe are growing, and they would sell the tokens for brands that they don't see a future in. So basically like with the actual, like the price, the trend of the reward token price is actually very going to be correlated with like the customer's like growing or shrinking love for that brand.
Yeah, I think that's really hard on the merchant side though. Like, I don't know if you could convince the merchant to essentially do a public ICO, essentially like reverse ICO, right? Like for like a very small earn on the transaction fees, which I don't think is going to be like enough to convince a merchant to do this. I feel like there has to be like a more stable token economics for a merchant to buy in. Because like, again, I think merchants or any business would love to issue their own reward token or a token of some sort. I'm sure Chai would also want to do that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the question of, okay, then how are you going to, how do you design the token economics so that like you have the sell and buy happening together. So it's not a sell pressure all the way down.
Right. Okay. Yeah, let me put some more thought into this. Take some notes. Cool. Yeah, let me think about that more. I don't want to take up more of your time. I'm flipping back between reward point tokens and cross border right now. So perhaps you'll hear more about what type of partnership is brewing for ports.
I think it's great that you're focusing on areas that obviously Chai's really interested in. Mm-hmm. I think the idea in of itself is great. It's just devil's in the detail. I've just seen so many token economics that just doesn't make sense. And if it's going to involve actual merchants and it's not DeFi projects that are used to the concept of money copying money,
right.
I think you're going to need something pretty solid in order to convince them to.
And something more sustainably stable as opposed to prone to pump and dumps, especially if it's if it's for merchants that are long lasting.
Got
it. Cool. Thanks for your feedback. Okay.
No problem. All right. Talk to you later.
Yep. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
(Clears throat)